Forward. Why this book? I'd just walked out into the glare of the hot sun of the Australian outback, made even more harsh by the darkened light and digital screens of the windowless operations floor I had just departed. I was in Pine Gap, almost in the middle of nowhere. When you land at the local airport and travel the short service road to the main highway, you are greeted by a road sign. The closest town, Alice Springs, is a little more than 10 kilometers to the right. Go left, and the next important landmark, the near mystic and locally sacred Ayers Rock, Uluru, is 450 kilometers away. As we shielded our eyes from the sun, I turned to my Australian counterpart and asked if he ever wanted to explain to his citizens, and especially to his critics, the quality of the work we had just witnessed inside the facility. Actually, I said something along the lines of, "Wouldn't you love to be able to show people exactly what we do?" He quickly responded that he would. Critics, observers, and just average citizens don't know as much about his intelligence as they want or should. A goal of this book is to help address that. Okay, we can't go to the outback, but we can go behind the scenes. These pages are my best effort to show to the American people what their intelligence services actually do on their behalf. No Jack Bowers or Jason Bournes here, though. Just hardworking and dedicated Americans whose labor deserves understanding, appreciation, and even occasional criticism. This is a memoir, so I have to tell the story through my eyes, but I hope those about whom I write see it as their story as well. Of course, there are limits, classification and such. Frankly, there are too many limits, and that hurts the community I served and still love, and the republic it serves. But I have pushed as hard as prudence and the law and CIA's Publications Review Board allow. Even with stops as an ROTC instructor and some stretches in policy, I can still rightly be described as a career intelligence officer, reading out satellite imagery as a lieutenant at Strategic Air Command headquarters, supporting B-52 operations in Southeast Asia from Guam, head of intelligence at a tactical fighter wing in Korea, an overt intelligence collector as air attaché in communist Bulgaria, chief of intelligence for U.S. forces in Europe during the Balkan Wars, commander of the Air Force's intelligence arm based in Texas. I enjoyed nearly every minute of those jobs, but this book is less about them than about the last 10 years of my government service, the decade I spent at the national level as director of the National Security Agency, DERNSA, the first principal deputy director of National Intelligence, PDDNI, and director of the Central Intelligence Agency, DCIA, as opposed to the DCI. Prior to 2005, the director of CIA was also the head of the U.S. intelligence community and called the Director of Central Intelligence, or DCI. I just headed one agency, hence DCIA. There were policy and international issues aplenty in those years, 1999 to 2009, and most of them touched on and were touched by intelligence. Many are recounted here from the perspective I had from those positions. The narrative reflects the always important but sometimes delicate relationship between intelligence and the policymakers that it serves. There's a healthy dose also of the even more delicate relationship with congressional oversight. There's a chapter or three on bureaucracy as well. After all, the budgets of the agencies I headed are measured in the billions of dollars. Their personnel counts are in the tens of thousands, and their presence is global. Organization, budgets, and personnel decisions matter, not so much in their own right, but as enablers of performance and mission success. Getting the overall structure right has been a pursuit of American intelligence for more than a decade. Anyone running a large organization will understand how limited the tools of a CEO or a commander or a director really are. He or she can move, or get more, money, move boxes on an organizational chart, change out people, and exhort and inspire. That's just about the whole toolbox. I've always found it difficult to actually finish reading a book on management or leadership, but I've nonetheless laid out my